Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to think about the thought of the fight of faith. I'd like to start with Scripture in Joshua, the 14th chapter. It's talking of Caleb. And if you'll remember, Caleb was the one that, one of the two spies that was, that when the children of Israel came over to the land of Canaan, or to the Jordan, and they sent spies to go over and look the land over. Yeah. And so Caleb was one of those that went over and looked the land over. And he went over there and he saw the land and all those things. And I believe he had faith in God. I believe when he went over there, he had faith in God. And he went over there and he saw the giants. He saw walled cities. He saw great obstacles. And none of those things hindered his faith, because his faith was in one that's bigger than walls. His faith was in one that's bigger than giants. And in all that he could see, he never saw anything that matched his God. And I think that's so important today. If we could ask a question today, what kind of a God do you serve? How much power does he have? Is he the God of all? Because when you run into this God that we serve, then you'll not find anything like him. There's hardly anything to say that's like him. How can you even say? Can you use any kind of thing, element, force? Can you say anything that can match him? You'll make a likeness to him that represents him? What could you do in power that could say it's like God? Well, there's nothing that I can think of. We've developed, scientists have developed in the last century, nuclear weapons. But could you say in all the force that they have, in all of them combined, that it has the force of God? Hardly. So Caleb goes over to spy a land, but he's got in his mind about a God. When he goes over and looks at all these things, he looks at it and he's realistic. He wasn't in a fantasy land here. He wasn't saying something that wasn't true. He went over and espied the land. He looked and said, well, there's giants. And he, when he come back and reported, and they said, we're like grasshoppers. And they think of us as grasshoppers, and we are. And he come back and said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And their cities are walled and thick, and the inhabitants are mean looking. But he said, we're well able. It's not by our power that we do any of these things. And Lord, help us to remember this. It's what we look at and what our faith takes hold of, is that it's not by my capability. I'll shrink in front of so many things. I just cower down and think, well, I can't do hardly anything. Well, then I remember God. And God can do it. God can overdo these prayer requests we had. God isn't disturbed by these prayer requests. We can shake and shiver over them, but God's so far beyond all that. And Lord, help our faith to fight the fight of faith, because really, here's where we're at. To fight the fight of faith. That is, I keep my faith in who God is. That I can keep that faith in my time that I need to exhibit. My faith is exhibiting a great God. One that's bigger than all these things. And let's look at some of this, because Caleb was a man that had faith in God. And they came, so we're going to look here in the, we'll start back in the 10th verse. It says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Well, I'm going to back up a little bit, because there's a little bit more thoughts in that. 7th verse, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh-Barnea to spy out the land, and I was brought him word again as it was in my heart. Now, one thing I can say about this, is Caleb could say, now I was minding my own business, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, came and got me and sent me over there. So I'm put into this thing now. And he come over and got me, and I went out and espied the land, and I come back, and I didn't tell him anything that wasn't in my heart. What I told him, I meant it. I meant what I said. My report was true. I told him exactly. And if you read the words of that account, that's what he done. He didn't try to, you know, what we like to do, what we do a lot of times, it's just human to do it. We like to paint flowery pictures on something we want to look flowery. We want to try, it's a political way of doing it. You know, they do it all the time in politics. They'll bend words and they'll make things look like that. And if Caleb would have come over there, he would have come over and said, oh, those was just little fellows. They wasn't that big. Those fellows weren't that big. And those walls wasn't thick. But if that, he would have used words to try to do that. But he didn't play any of that game. He didn't need to. And Lord, help us here. In our fight of faith, we don't have to try to make... We don't have to help God out and make Him look bigger than He is. All we got to do is have faith in how big He is. He's well able to do it. I don't have to change any facts about this. I can look at the situation and say, it is big. It is scary. It is awful. But God's bigger. I don't have to change these facts. And Caleb didn't. He said, I told him just the way it was. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. That when they look at us, these big old guys in their walls, they laugh at us. That's what they're going to do. He told it just the way it was. And he said, what's in my heart? I told it. And I also said, but we're well able. Oh, he wanted that to penetrate. We're well able. We're well able. And I want to say, folks, today, right here in 2009, servants of the Lord, we're well able to get the victories in life. We're well able to take the land that God has given us. We're well and more than able because of His power to do it. Well able to do it. Go with your banner high. We're well able to take that land. He gave us a land. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful land He gave us of peace and of grace and the ability to overcome the things of this world. We don't have to cow down to those things. No. Yeah, it's to this flesh, it's an awesome thing. But to God, it's nothing. So he says here, he told all that was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Oh, how often we can be a sister Anita mentioned it. How often somebody's words, even unintentional, just sometimes in the middle of a battle, the words that somebody speaks can prick our hearts. Oh, they can be like a dagger in our hearts. And here was Caleb come out of that and gave the report. And he believed it in his heart. And then his brethren started talking. I wonder what he felt. I know what he felt like. I believe that. I believe I know what he felt like when they started saying that. He was like, no, no. Don't tell it that way. Don't tell it that way. Oh, we're not able to do it. Oh, we've been led into this. Oh, no. No, don't tell it that way. You ever been in a place and you was in that kind of a battle and it was real hard and somebody made the comment and just your faith was you was right there and you was trying to get a hold of God and you was trying to you was fighting a fight of faith. That faith was trying to take hold and you was there and somebody says, well, you can die of that. Well, we're all going to die, but we've got to taste the realities. I know that, but you ever been pricked like that of these kind of things? He says, but nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, but it didn't affect me. But it didn't affect me. I followed the Lord. I didn't go by emotions, but I followed the Lord. I'm going to keep my heart right here. Lord, you've just done too much. I want to say Caleb seen the Red Sea part. Caleb was the one that saw God bring out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and he was one that hung on to that. He's delivered me. I've got faith in God. I'm going to keep my faith. And they, when all the people, and this is a lesson to us, folks, look around at the whole crowd and be so discouraged because it seems like there's so many gone. Our world, I can get right depressed looking at the world and how many things and all this that's going on and wrong and all that. But then I remember there's God too. Oh, and I take courage. Oh, this old United States has been around for a few hundred years and seemed to have done well and all this and so many things coming in of immorality and all these things about against God and all these things. And I really get it, but now I remember there's God. You know, we can look at the whole big picture and then our heart amount too. But He said their heart mounted. But my heart didn't mount. I kept my faith. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now this is what Moses said to him. Alright, you come back and have your faith in God. And so he told him, wherever your foot had hit, the whole realm, that's yours. That's your inheritance. That's what you've gained by it. You know the Lord's got something for us. Folks, don't ever forget that God's got a land for us, spiritually speaking, a land that is ours by inheritance. When we get down and depressed, I'm going to tell you, that's not the land God give us. God give us a land of surety. God give us a confidence in our land. We can be safe and secure in our land. It's not a land where we have to lay down. It's not. That's not the land. When our peace is gone, I want to tell you today, that's not God, the land that God give us. God give us a land of peace. Now, I'll tell a little story. Now, some of the folks from Web City, they heard me tell this Wednesday night. I was there and testified to it. But I got myself in a real place. And I couldn't tell you just exactly how I got there. But I did get there, and that's all I can really say about it. But I got into a place that I started really being aggravated over things. Now, big things was real easy to just, I can't handle them, and I can give them over to the Lord. But little things started really being tempting me to be aggravated about it. And the devil started really taunting me, and I imagine it started out just not by paying attention to it, but that's the way I felt. And then it seemed like just every 5-10 minutes of my life, something was happening wrong, just going wrong. I couldn't drill a hole in a board without tearing something up, either the board or the drill. And it just continually went on that, and I had this voice keep telling me, see there, see there. And I was being so, like that. And I didn't really realize that anything really was going on, just going on with my life best way I could. But it really started getting bad, and I started noticing I don't have much joy in my life. It's where you turn it around and you knock your cup over. You go get the cup, you bump your head. I mean, it was continual, these continual things happening to me, and dropping things and punching nails in my hands, and I was cutting my fingers, and I mean, I could turn from one and do the other and a knot on my head and to stub my toe, and this voice kept saying, see there? It never happened to you again. And I was like saying, what is going? And I was being irritated, very irritated. So I was down on the river feed. I told the congregation there was going to have a fish fry. Well, I didn't have any fish. So I had to go catch some fish. Well, that gave me a good opportunity to go fishing. But I said we're going to have a fish fry. And we said, well, if we don't get fish, we'll have a fish fry, but it'll be with hot dogs. So we was going to have a get-together at my house. So I started going down there and going fishing. And everything was just seemed like it was going wrong. And I finally got to the point that I said, I'm going to go get prayed for. Now, that's what there's something more in the land than this. I need some help. I thought, I get back, I'm going to call for prayer. I'm going to get this took care of. It felt like the Lord just simply said, just thank the Lord. And you know what? I said, Lord, I'll take that. And so I just started saying things, and they kept on going. And I said, every time something a little bit would come to aggravate me a little, I'd say, thank you, Jesus. And did you know, I'm going to tell you something. I gained the victory so quick and had such a wonderful day full of mishaps. But I had a smile on my face and couldn't hardly wait till the next time to get to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I went all day saying, thank you, Jesus. And there was a few times that I kind of forgot, and I was tempted just for a little bit. Now I'd say, thank you, Jesus. And did you know that I got some victory right there and so quickly? And I was so thankful. I'm going to tell you, I've had wonderful days full of mishaps and still had a smile on my face and could say, thank the Lord. The Lord reminded me, and I said, I can thank the Lord because I'm saved. If nothing else, I'm saved today. I thank the Lord. I'm well. The Lord's doing things in my life. Thank God for it. So I went on doing that, and things kept right on going. They kept getting tougher. Down there fishing and had things happen to me. It just didn't seem like it was. Seems like it was just turned up. The heat was turned up. They had to ride a bicycle on part of a trail there, and I'm riding along on my bicycle going to go fish, and my bicycle just comes apart. A bicycle that you can't ride is worse than not having one at all. Now, here I am pushing my bicycle, and I get up there and decide I'm going to go on and go fishing, take the bicycle back to the truck, and I go back to the river. Never had this happen before. But I cast out there, and I seen this gold trout come up and take my spinner, and I give it a little flip and broke my fishing rod right smack in half. On a trout that long, I didn't even think it could happen. It was just a solid rod too, and it just broke it. And of course the fish flops off the end of it, and here I'm going down with a broken bicycle and a broken rod. I'm not fishing, but you know what I said when it happened? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My rod was broke, but I had peace in my heart. I had peace in my heart. I wasn't disturbed anymore about it. And I went on and went back to the house and fixed my bicycle and fixed my fishing rod and went back down the next day. And, oh, it just continued right on. Then I was riding my bicycle and dropped my fishing, dropped the rod and reel and run right over top of it with my bicycle. And I didn't think, I just said, well, I thought, well, they're tough. You couldn't hurt it by doing that, and turned around and looked, and my reel's over here and my rod's over here, and it broke a snap in half. It just kept on. Went down and flipped one spinner, the line didn't come out of all my spinners. Went all the way across on the hill bank on the other side of the river. And I only had two, so I went to another place and was fishing and caught in a limb, and it broke my line, and the limb slipped this way and put the spinner out in the river without my line on it. There's my spinners, both of them gone. And the things kept happening like that, but you know what I kept saying? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll tell you, the Lord give us a land, and by faith, we can have that land. Does it mean everything's going to go right? It was never promised to you that everything was going to go right. But He did promise you a land where you got peace. He did promise you some victory in your life, that you can go through it and still have grace and be able to endure and go through those things and still have the right attitude about it. The Lord showed me, I'm not going to change that, but I'll give you grace. Oh, I'm going to tell you, my days was better. I had three wonderful days up there, and it seemed like the whole world was falling down. Everything went wrong around. But I had wonderful days. Why? Because I got a land. I got something God promised me. He promised that He'd have grace. And He said, if you humble yourself, there's more grace. There's grace aplenty if you humble yourself for these kind of things. And I have to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am so thankful that I can have that in my life. That it doesn't matter what happens, I'm in a land. I'm in a land that God promised me. He said it was going to flow with milk and honey. Was there giants there? Yeah. Was there walled cities? Yeah. Was there fights? Fights aplenty. But in it all, you can have victory. You can keep your head up in all of it. You can have a smile on your face. I think old Caleb had some victory in his life. He believed in God. So he says, all this is your inheritance, whatever your foot is hit on. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake His word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85 years old. Now think of this. Think of this. He was given a promise. Because you followed the Lord, because you done right, because you stayed in there, you're going to get the inheritance. And 40 years. Now, think about it. It wasn't his fault that they didn't go across the river. He did nothing wrong. He had faith. He had faith in God to do it. And because the other ones did it, 40 years. He was in the wilderness. Now, what do you think about that? He had a promise. he still believed in God. I'm going to say today that many times what happens to us in our lives is that we give up. To be able to say 40 years, the Lord made a promise, but it's going to take 40 years. 40 years? Well, I'll be encouraged one way. 40 years goes pretty quick. But it's still a long time when you think about it. 40 years. There's a lot of people in here who say 40 years. They say, I don't know about 40 years. I'm not 40 years old. I don't remember a whole lot. I'd only been six. So I only remembered a whole lot from that time. But 40 years is a long time. But faith reaches through time. Keep your faith. Faith goes through time. Faith goes beyond those things. Abraham was the father of faith. Why? Because he believed through time. He had faith in what he never even saw. He had faith in what he never got to, but he endured through. He had faith in God who had promised it. So he actually had the benefits of it, but he never saw it. But he had the benefits of it through faith. So we have the benefits through faith to realize and experience and have joy and peace in things that's 40 years away because of faith. And it's a battle of faith to keep that, because sometimes the battle gets long and hard, and the years go by sometimes, and sometimes in afflictions, if affliction come up in hours and was gone, it wouldn't be that much of a battle. Sometimes it's days, sometimes weeks, months. How about years? How about years of affliction? How about years of suffering and those kind of things? But faith reaches beyond it. It goes beyond it. And Lord, help us to fight this battle of faith. Caleb did. Caleb come back some 40 years later, wasn't it? And he says, now I'm 85 years old. But now listen to what he says. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, the scene of this, I believe, is Caleb talking to Joshua. Now, Joshua's been given the leadership here, and so Caleb's coming down to his time to remind Joshua of what Moses said. Because it was Joshua's ability to give Caleb his inheritance now. And so Caleb comes to Joshua and says, okay, now I'm reminding you about this, and listen to his terminology. 85 years old, and he didn't say anything about having a vacation home up there on the mountain. He said, I've got strength to fight with. Because I'm going to tell you, I found this to be true. If you want your inheritance of peace, you want your inheritance of grace, you want the inheritance of the things that God has promised you, you're going to have to fight for them. You're going to have to fight for them. And when he comes to Caleb, or to Joshua, he told him, I've still got my strength, Joshua. I'm still able to go up, and you're not sending some boy up here now. You're sending somebody with fire in his eyes. And I'm going to go up there, because I'm going to have to subdue it. There's still people up there, and it's going to have to be subdued. And you're sending the man that it belongs to, and when I go up there, I mean to get it. And so that was his way of saying, I got fight in me yet. I'm fighting the fight of faith. I see it the same as I did then. Not relying on myself. My strength's the same, because why? Because it's God's strength. It hasn't changed. It hasn't altered. Brother Leslie told us last night, he's an old man now, but he's young in his soul. Young as he's ever been. Well, that's fight. Got to fight the fight of faith. Seen some battles. Seen some things. Went through some things now. Not just a boy in this thing. Now I've been through some fights. Fought some things. Lost some things. Gained some things. See how the thing works now. I intend to serve the Lord. I got faith in God. I don't believe there's anything else. Here's his words. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Now that's a famous saying, isn't it? Give me this mountain. That's mine. Lord, help us today to have this kind of a determination in our hearts. That, Lord, I'm going to get everything that belongs to me. In my relationships, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because I want them to be great. I want to be in them what I'm supposed to be.
They're mine. By His grace, they're mine. He's come to do it. The places that the devil takes advantage, I want them destroyed in my life. Why? Because He was made manifest that He might destroy the works of the devils, and that's part of my inheritance right there, that I have that destroyed in my life. I don't want to be cantankerous, so I want my land. I want my land, Lord. Give me that mountain. Give me that place. I want to tell you something about a mountain. Y'all live out here in flat land, or relatively flat. It may roll more than some other places, but it's relatively flat. Over where I'm at, they're not these big towering mountains, but they're still mountains. And when you get a load on you and you start up them, you'll soon realize that what a mountain is. Give me that mountain. It offers a lot of things that's pleasant, but it offers works, what it offers. That mountain makes everything tougher. You want to try to cut a tree on it, makes it tougher. You want to try to get it off, it makes it tough. That thing, that mountain means something. To go up it, it means something. It's labor, it's work. Give me that mountain. I know what that means. In order to gain my land, I'm going to have to toil for it. I'm going to have to labor for it. But it's mine. It's my home. That's what Moses said that was mine. You know, God wanted them because there was a spiritual idea in it. Because it was a analogy of the gospel, their inheritance and how they viewed it meant something to God. When they despised their inheritance, it displeased God. Because it wasn't of their own choosing. It's what God chose for them. God has chosen something for us that we ought to cherish. We ought to cherish what God wants us to have. God made every one of us and made us to be something special. God made us to be able to work in the kingdom of God and fit a place in that. God made you to be a part of a body and feel that part of the body, and you ought to cherish that part because it's what makes the whole body work, if you know what I mean. And it's your inheritance in the body to be able to do what you do. And to despise that is to despise God's calling in your life and what He chose. The wisdom that we heard about last night was the wisdom that He chose you and what your position is. Caleb said, "Don't give me down by the seashore. That wasn't my inheritance." He wasn't longing for something that wasn't his, or make this out of me or this out of me. But by faith, give me what's mine. That's my mountain over there. Give me, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. See, it can look impossible. It can look so impossible to us. I just don't know how to get there. But by faith in God, He said, the enemy's still there. They hold the positions. But the Lord said, I can take it. He said it then, and it's still the same today. The land that I'm given, I can take that land. Here is the actual fact of it. Lord, help us. We will face many things in this life. We'll face the cancers. We'll face the heart failures. And God is a great delivering God. But the victory in Him is the victory over Him. It is. It's not that it has to change or we don't have victory. It's when with a smile on my face and peace in my heart, I can say, thank You, Jesus, for my land. Thank You for the place that You've given me. That means no matter what happens in this life, I've still got the victory. I've still got salvation in my soul. I've still got my land to where nothing can disturb me out of it. And to where these things come, and you're still going to see a saint. You're still going to see somebody that believes in an awesome God. You're going to see one that believes in the God that created everything and has got everything in His hand. And yes, this whole body, I expect it to fail. It will. If the Lord tarries long enough, this is going to fail. But I can still have peace. I can still say thank you, Jesus, through it all. And when the blows come and the storms come and we go through those difficult, why-type times, and I don't understand that, Lord knows we don't understand. There's nothing wrong with me saying I don't understand. Lord knows I don't understand, but this I do know. God's right. And He does it all right. And we went through the storms before, and they went by. And we're still standing. Still got the victory in it. So Lord, help us today. Fight that good fight of faith. Fight that fight of faith. And I'm reminded of another scripture, and I'll just mention it. But there's a scripture over there of the mighty men of David. And there was a place there where the people fled. But they were some of these mighty men, and they come to a barley field. And I like to think of that barley field as an important place. You know, barley was important. It was a grain field there. A field of barley. And the Philistines attacked, and they fought right there over that barley field. And those mighty men held their ground right there in that barley. I like to think of them and say, we've moved, we've run, the people's fled, but I'm going to tell you this. This is our barley field. And we ain't giving up the barley field. It don't matter if there's two of you or 200. When you get to the lines, when you get to the edge of the barley field, you're going to have a fight on your hand. The devil can rage in the world. It can do all that. And we pray for those that the devil's ravaging in the world and all that. But there's a certain line that he comes to that we stand. You don't get my peace. You don't get my happiness. You don't get my meekness and my gentleness and my humility. There's a place that we stand up and fight for the land that God has given us. We will not allow you inside this place. There is times that the devil wants to come and make great division among family, but there's a place of our barley fields. We will not give up the precious things of life. Right here is where, devil, if I have to, yeah, I've been standing and saying strong words and I've been doing this, but now you got to the line of my barley field and you'll just see how humble I can get now. I'll just humble myself and apologize to everybody because you're not going to get my land. You're not going to take the peace of my home and family. You're not getting my marriage. You're not getting it. This is my barley field. I got an inheritance here of precious things and you can't have it. And that's a fight of faith. I'm going to stay right here and what we do is labor in the flesh a lot of times and toil in this old flesh and try to get away in the flesh and the devil makes hay and he gets our barley fields. But when we stand at the line and say, not here. I'm drawing the line right here at my inheritance. God, give me this place. Now, they stood out there and they fought and they defended it and kept it. Right there at the hands of all that. Why? I'm going to tell you why they did it. Because it meant something to them. And we need the same kind of disposition in our lives. Lord, the things of God mean so much to us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Another scripture, I want to look at this one. It's in 1 Corinthians. I'm sure it's a familiar scripture. 9. 24, 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the masteries, temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. This was Paul saying, this is the way they do it in the world. This is the way natural people run natural races. They are masters. They master it. They master themselves in this area. They eat only what's right. They don't give themselves in to things that's not proper. But they work out diligently. They're up early in the morning to train. They give all to this particular goal and purpose. He was not giving this great credit of the flesh. He was simply using it as a way of saying, here's the way to do it. And he said, this is the way I fight. So run I. I run this gospel race exactly the same way. I am focused on the gospel race. I've got my heart in God, my faith in God. I'm keeping myself right there in tune with God. I get up early if I have to. I labor long and train hard if I have to. I give myself over diligently to the works of God.
And this is the way I run, because this is if I'm going to obtain it, this is the way I got. So fight I. What? Not uncertainly. What's that mean? I know where I'm throwing my punch at. Not as one that beateth the air. He's talking about shadow boxing. They train at that and they swing at what? At the air. It's pretend. They're swinging. They train that way. He's saying, but I so fight that way, but I don't throw my punches at nothing. In other words, I don't waste my time with these things. I've got the fight of faith to contend with. Folks, listen. There's a lot of things that you've heard over the years as lines and places and positions that you shouldn't cross and do that. This is what we're trying to say, what Paul said. So fight I. I don't give myself into those things because they're a hindrance to my faith. I'm not going to do anything that hinders my faith. I've got to be single-minded here, single-eyed on this, because it's a fight of faith. I'm going to have faith in God. I can't allow myself to be wishy-washy and then come down to the strong battles and be strong in it. I've got to have faith in God. I've got to keep a clearness between me and God. I've got to keep a closeness between me and God. And what hurts that will hurt my battle. What will hurt that is going to hurt my ability to stand at the boundaries of my inheritance and defend it against the enemy. This is mine and I'll keep it. But when I come away from that thing and start dallying with things that don't pertain and get outside the realms of that, see what I'm saying? I lose the idea. I lose the fight. Like I said, I don't know how I got in that position I was telling you about. It just worked up for me. I'm so glad God was merciful to me and brought me back to this place. I'm glad that I got the peace, but it worked. And all of a sudden, I was there. Wasn't malicious. Didn't get there on purpose. Just things happen in life sometimes. Lord, help us. So fight I. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Don't want to be a castaway. I'm not interested in the castaway thing. I want to be found in the favor of the Lord. Another scripture in 2 Timothy. This is one of my favorites. Paul giving Timothy some charges. And then he says, but watch thou, in the fifth verse, in all things endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry, because for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Oh, Paul realized he had come down to the end of it, didn't he? Oh, well, let's see. That'd be time to... that could be a real time, couldn't it? Sometimes we shortchange ourselves. And say, it just ain't possible for a human to get there. I've had people tell me that. I've had people that didn't know the ways of the saints. I've seen saints die. I've seen them with the victory in their life. I've seen that. But I've had people say that, oh, everybody's got to fight that end time. Everybody's got to fight that death thing. And I know this kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you, Paul didn't sound that way to me. When he come down and knew that the end of it was there and knew that he had fulfilled his life in God, he had said, I have fought a good fight. Oh, I hope, Lord help us, that we all can say at the end of it. It's not that there was failures in your life, folks. It's at the end of it you still fought. It's that you fought through it. It's not that you did everything right all the time. It's that you made it right when you did. Didn't do it right, you made it right, and you kept on in faith in God. You went on and you fought the fight. This is what Paul did. He said, I have fought a good fight. Thank the Lord at the end he could say, I fought a good fight. What was he talking about? All those times. You know, Paul was plagued with false prophets. They were false preachers all around him. He'd come in and begat these people. In other words, he'd come in and evangelize to them. Or he was an apostle. He'd sow seeds and their congregations would come up. And then before long he'd go on his ways. And before long there'd be a false teacher in there teaching them something false to that. And all he worked with those. Oh, he had to deal with those falseness and all that. Paul had to deal with all that. And when he come to the end of it, you know what he said? I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I kept it. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Oh, to finish your course. To get down to the end of it. One day we'll all get to that point. Whether you can say about the faith or not, we'll all finish our course. We'll run down to the end of it. And Paul's run down the end of his now. And by revelation, he knows he's at the end of it. He knows that his work's done. I finished. I'm down to the end of my course. Fought a good fight. Finished it. finished my course. And I appreciate this last part of this. I've kept the faith. And I think in my life, and I don't think I face hardly anything compared to what a lot of people have. But I think of those places of faith. Those times. That was a challenge to what are you going to believe? Where are you going to go? To be able to look at the end of all of it and say, I kept the faith. I believe, been saved. I was saved 22 years ago. 22 years, I can say. Still got the faith. Been through a lot of battles. Been through some difficult places. Made some failures. Had to say I'm sorry a whole bunch of times. Went back. And all that, I can say, I kept the faith. I still believe today that God rules in men's hearts. I still believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask to think. I believe today that God is interested in everything we do. I believe, as Brother Leslie said last night, that it was God that created the birds and the trees and the flowers. And I believe God spoke it into existence. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. I believe in the furthest of the out into the heavens, God spoke it. I believe that God was in the middle of all of it. I believe He still is. Remember this. Remember this idea. And then there's God. For there'll be times that the devil will come and all these things will look so to you and look like there's no answers and look at all this. But then there's God. When my faith takes a hold of this very idea that there's God, it changes the whole thing in my mind. Because there's nothing that He can't do for us in our lives. So for the battles that you're in right now, have faith in God. Fight that good fight of faith. You'll come out to the end of it. 40 years, old brother Caleb, was in the wilderness with a bunch of unbelieving people. I wonder how many little debates he had with them over that whole idea we're going over there. You know how people are. Yeah, how about that over there? And how many times they must have made these comments and been there. But how many times they must have made these comments? I can't believe Moses would have brought us to a place like that. And how many times Caleb would say, brother, we could have took that. Oh, Caleb, you're way out there thinking that way. Well, there was no way we didn't even have the kind of weapons they had. They was walled in there. We couldn't have rooted them out. And old Caleb would say, God could have helped us. God could have helped us through all that. And we could have had the victory in that. We're over here in the wilderness. And we could have been in our own houses over there. We're here in the wilderness now, and we're eating. What was he eating over there? And they complained about what they was eating, and we could have been eating the fat of the land over there. God had cities that they did not build. They had vineyards that they didn't plant waiting for them over there. And they was over in the wilderness going around there because of one thing. They did not have faith. Their unbelief altered their whole lives. And I'm going to tell you folks, our unbelief will alter our life. Our unbelief will keep us not out of a peaceful place. It'll keep us from enjoying the wonders of His grace. Unbelief. But Lord, help us today to have faith in God. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.